some writers and charters. I read her book, her biography of Jack Kerouac. I discovered the Beats as a teenager. So that became huge to me too. It was probably as important as music. And then I later found out the Beats were a huge part of Janis's life and kind of what instigated her wanting to get out of Texas and everything. Was different writers, the writers of the Nancy Drew book, which I thought was the real person, Carolyn Keene, which of course now I know was a pseudonym for, I think, a bunch of different writers. Anyway, but I always thought Carolyn Keene was this amazing, prolific writer of all the Nancy Drew books, which I read. So as far as pop culture goes, that was influential to me. Other musicians, of course, totally Carole King. I was one of those Tapestry girls that just wore that record out, sitting on my shag carpet in my purple bedroom, listening to that album all the time. Huge for me. And then, of course, when I discovered Patti Smith, that just totally changed my life. I saw her in North Carolina. She performed in Chapel Hill at my college, University of North Carolina, and blew my mind. I had never, you know, of course, I never got to witness Janis live. So people that I've interviewed who got to actually see her in the room told me stories which I could relate to in the way that Patti Smith affected me the first time I saw her perform. That was in 1978, I think it was, yeah. And then weirdly enough, the first week I moved into the East Village in 1979, who should be standing right in front of the Gym Spa, which was this famous newsstand that sold egg creams and stuff, on the corner of St. Mark's and 2nd Avenue, was Patti Smith. And I literally went up to her and I said, "I just moved here because of you." She's like, "Good. Well, you, New York is the best place. You'll love it." And then she ended up moving to Detroit right after that, you know, married Fred Sonic Smith and was kind of out of sight for years. And then crazily enough, that magazine I used to write for, Option, in the mid-90s, they asked me, Patti was just starting to come out in public again. You know, Fred Smith had died, Mapplethorpe had died, her brother had just died. And she had done a new album called Gone Again, or she was working on it. And they said, "If you can get an interview with her, we'll put it on the cover. It'll be the cover story." So I literally contacted Lenny Kaye, her guitarist, who I'd gotten to know through Rolling Stone and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he lived in the East Village like I did. And he gave me her address. And I wrote her a letter in Detroit and told her about how seeing her in Chapel Hill in 1978 had changed my life, and now I was in New York and I was writing about music, and could I please come to Detroit and interview her. And my husband and I had gone out of town. We came home, and on our answering machine, when we actually had a machine, there was a message I played. It was like, "Hi Holly, this is Patti. I got your letter and it was so great to, you know, hear about North Carolina again. That was one of my favorite ever gigs that I've never forgotten that show. And of course, I'd love to meet you. Please come to Detroit. I'd be happy to give you an interview." So I got to go there. I think that was in 95 or I think it was 96, actually. Yeah, 1996. I got to go there and hang out at her house and interview her. And that was pretty amazing. So again, one of those stories, you know, when I discovered her as a freshman in college, it was when Horses came out. No, I was a sophomore. Sorry, it was my second year in college. Horses came out, and I just remember staring at that cover and just playing that album over and over and over again, and then seeing her live, seeing her in New York, and then getting to go and interview her. So, I mean, I guess of all the women, I mean, she's definitely a huge one that I got to actually interact with. So that's pretty exciting to me.